You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Monday's edition of the podcast. Good to have you with us. We're looking ahead to the action at Carlisle, Thirsk and Kempton on this edition. You'll hear every race live, of course, on Racing Radio from 1:50pm in the company of Ollie Pimlott, Rory Delaghi and Seb Sanders on Monday. Brighton and Carlisle, your afternoon fixtures with Kempton and Thirsk, the evening meeting. Sam Norris here in the chair and joining me on Monday's edition of the podcast. It's a very warm welcome to Alistair Whitehouse-Jones. Hello, Ali.
Hi, Sam.
How are you today?
Not bad, thank you.
Good. Enjoyed the last week of action on the Nave tomorrow?
Yeah, it's been good, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has, yeah. It's
end of summer.
Yeah, indeed, yeah.
It was a sign, I think.
Yeah.
Last of our major festivals.
Yes, yeah. It's a festival that I always enjoy. Finding winners tends to be pretty difficult at York, though. And this year, no exception. There's been a couple of punter-friendly results, but generally, it's been tough.
Yeah, I mean, the big races have been fairly predictable, I guess, but I know what you mean. York is it's a track I've never, it's never really floated my boat from a punting perspective.
Yes.
I think the last horse I backed there was trained by Ben Hanbury, which gives you an idea how
right.
That was.
Before my time, that.
Yeah, but yeah, it's always a great week, you know, and some standout performances. Obviously postponed in particular.
Yes, yeah, excellent to see. Yeah. Well, not just postponed, I suppose the win of Barzanti as well. It's good to see the Roger Varian Yard not turn a corner, but certainly show that the horses are getting over the problems that they had there. Obviously a bug through the yard can be incredibly detrimental.
Absolutely, yeah. It's been a sticky season, sort of stop, start. But hopefully they'll be looking to kick on from here. And if they have a good, you know, last quarter of the season, then all will be forgotten.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I mean, even so, postponed still want to, you know, a coronation cup with Judd Monty, so it's not all doom and gloom by any means.
Yeah, exactly. It could be globe-trotting once more. It's been a fantastic week of action at York. Then Saturday was no exception. We'll look back on a couple of the star performers on the final day of the Ebor Festival. I want to start with the Jim Crack winner, Ali, Blue Point, who got back to winning ways after being sort of out-battled by Memas on his last start. Obviously, he was hugely eye-catching when winning at Doncaster. Not a bad run behind Memas last time out, but got back to winning ways in the Jim Crack and sort of reaffirmed the faith that everyone had in him after the Doncaster run. It was a very pleasing performance from Charlie Appleby's charge.
Yeah, it was either Memas is very good or Blue Point wasn't particularly at his best, you know, at Goodwood,
yes,
which is a track that you know, doesn't bring out the best of all horses. I think a flat track is what suits this horse best, given his stride. I mean, he really does grab the ground, and I don't think it was the strongest of Jim Cracks himself, but, you know, to win it by three lengths going away in that sort of manner does, without question, stamp him as a really top prospect for next season. Jim Crack winners have a sort of checkered record, really, in recent times. I know Muharrar was an exception, and he, of course, went on to be a top-class sprinter. So whether this horse has Guinea's potential, I'm not sure. If he's going to be a really, you know, a real top notcher next year, it could be over 6 furlongs or 7, maybe, you know, could stretch him. But he's a good horse, yeah. But as I said, whether he'll be a Guinea's horse remains to be seen.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. It was a good day all round generally for Godolphin. They had the winner of the Strensel Stakes earlier on in the day when Scottish won again for Charlie Appleby and William Buick, one of their older horses, but still only 4 Scottish and looks to be improving all the time.
Yeah, it was a good, totally authoritative performance yesterday, and that was a fair renewal of the Strensel. So, yeah, he's a horse on an upward curve, and they'll be pleased. Charlie Appleby will be particularly relieved, I'd have thought, because I think prior to York, Godolphin's last 5 group winners had all come from outside stables.
All right.
You know, so it was about time that, you know, they retained yards, if you like.
Yes.
You know, joined the party. So he'll definitely be a relieved man.
Yeah, he will. Speaking of that, actually, it's been a quiet time for the side, Bin Saroyard, as well. On the flip side, I can't remember the last winner he saddled.
No, he's been, to be honest with you, is he still training? I'm a man who enjoyed such great success, and he doesn't seem to be getting the... You know, Godolphin have changed their policy. Obviously, when they recruit horses now, the modern trend is to keep them with the trainers,
yeah.
You know, with which they've made their name, and that makes perfect sense to me and always has done. So maybe he's suffered in that respect. But Charlie Appleby seems to be getting the better horses at the minute.
Mm.
But you're right, it's been not just a quiet season for Bin Sura, but a quiet two or three seasons.
Yes.
So, yeah, he'll be... looking over his shoulder now, yeah. You know what the main man's like. But
yes,
obviously,
exactly.
John Ferguson's pulling the strings now, and I think that is a definite factor in Godolphin's, you know, improved fortunes over the last sort of, well, this
yes,
season in particular.
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So Ibn Sura's head then could be on the chopping block, potentially. One man who won't be on the chopping block, William Buick, rode a treble yesterday. Since his ban, Ali, he obviously had an extended holiday for comments he made in France, a 30-day ban handed to him. Since that ban, he's come back in rude health, William Buick, riding winners left, right and centre.
Yeah, it helps, obviously, being on informed horses and informed from, you know, representing informed stables.
Yes.
But he is riding well, without question, though. I think, Blue Point in particular, I think anybody could have won on him.
Yes.
You know, but yeah, he's come back and maybe, you know, the break did him good.
Yeah, quite possibly. It certainly looks that way. Let's move on to the big race of the day then, the big race of the week, of course, at York. Europe's richest handicap, the Ebor, went the way of Heartbreak City for Tony Martin on Saturday. Adam McNamara continues to be a jockey that's really catching the eye. Claimed £5 off the back of Heartbreak City. It was very nearly a 1-2 for Tony Martin. Quick Jack just touched off by Ian Jardine's Shrewd in second. Didn't go unbacked either, Heartbreak City.
No, not at all. Ran well at Galway and... Yeah, Irish trained horses are doing well in the Ebor, and especially their jumpers. I think four of the last five winners now were, you know, as well known for their hurdling
yes.
exploits as their flat exploits, which to me doesn't paint the Ebor in the brightest of pictures. To me, it's just another, yes, it's incredibly valuable, but it's just like another staying handicap now, you know, since the 3-year-olds have been frozen out. And we
yes.
were talking yesterday that I think 15 of the 20 winners yesterday, you know, had been unplaced the time before. And,
wow.
You know, were just horses that... have been round the block, if you like. You know, a horse like Top Tug was sort of trading at 10 or 11 to 1. And, you know, it really has. The Ebor isn't scaling the heights that it should be at the minute. And that's principally down to the fact that unexposed, improving horses are simply being frozen out.
Yes.
So that's maybe something they've got to look to. But yesterday, it admittedly was an above average winner. I mean, Heartbreak City won with, you know, an incredible amount in hand. And, once again, advertises what a fine trainer Tony Martin is, you know, under both codes, because Quick Jack just keeps coming back for these big races, both hurdles and on the flat, and he's never far away. He's, you know, he's a great horse to own, I'd have thought.
Yeah, yeah. The handicapper must be smashing his head against the wall with him, because no matter how many times he puts him up, keeps coming back, as you say, generally in the big handicaps as well, not
yeah.
necessarily a group and graded performer, but just keeps coming back for more in the big handicaps.
That's right. The handicapper keeps having a go at him,
yeah.
but he keeps bouncing back and... but yeah, he's always going to be vulnerable to something with a bit up its sleeve from a handicapping perspective, and Heartbreak City definitely had that.
Yeah, certainly did. Nice win for Heartbreak City. Then just before we move on to Monday's action, Ali, obviously we talked about postponed earlier. There were some great highlights on the Naismire this week. The personal favourite performance for you?
Well, postponed was a standout in, you know, he's probably the best horse, middle distance horse in the world right now. So
yep.
for him to strut his stuff on the Naismire and win as he did was a definite highlight. Personally, if there's one horse I want to take out of York Week, it's a horse called Emperor Napoleon, who ran yesterday in the Melrose Stakes.
Yes.
And he took a very keen hold yesterday, looked the most likely winner, just over a furlong out, hit the front, fell in a hole. This horse, basically, the last twice, has been very eye-catching, over a mile and four on fast ground and a mile and six on slowish ground. And what he needs is a mile and a half on easy ground. And when he gets that next time out, definitely back him, because he's very well handicapped off 88. And he's a winner waiting to happen, believe me.
Okay. Good stuff. Emperor Napoleon for Andrew Balding, which was, of course, sixth in yesterday's Melrose. Let's move on to take a look at four races then on Monday. We've picked out a couple from Carlisle, one from Thirsk and one from Kempton. We begin with Carlisle's 3:15. This is a 5-furlong sprint handicap. 15 runners line up for this. We've seen a few sprint handicaps this week. Ali, this one might not have the same quality in the field, but it's not lacking in competitiveness.
Yeah, you can fancy a few of these. One I'm going to put forward is Mercer's Row, who was drawn in 9. It isn't a brilliant draw, but I don't think it'll be too damaging. This is a versatile horse who goes on any ground, which is worth bearing in mind given there's a bit of rain about. He won four times last year from five furlongs to a mile, so you know this horse is really versatile both in terms of trip and conditions. He's on a perfectly good mark, and I thought his latest third over six furlongs at Catterick was comfortably his best run of the season, and that coincided with first time cheek pieces, so in the hope that he can build on that, I think Mercer's Row could take some beating in that sprint handicap. Aprovado is another horse that is well treated and most definitely returned to form last time, but he's drawn out in 15, and that is a definite cause for concern. So as for the danger, I'd put forward Etienne Gerard from the Nigel Tinkler stable. Returned to winning ways at Windsor a few runs back and produced another excellent performance last time, dropped to five furlongs, which was his first run over that sharp a trip since his debut. Predictably found it a bit tight, finished well to finish second. He's got a good draw in five, and he'd be the danger. But Mercer's Row is the selection.
Okay, Ali going with the 9-year-old then, Mercer's Row in that 3:15 at Carlisle. We'll stay at Carlisle for their 4:45, which is the next race on the podcast. Another sprint handicap here. Six furlongs a trip this time for this Class 5 event, and 12 runners again. So another decent field has assembled. Couple bringing winning form into the race as well. Which one did you like?
Well, there's no doubt the most intriguing horse in this race is the Prescott filly Mockingbird, who is making her handicap debut. Would be a worry that probably her least effective performance was actually a final maiden, but that was a while back. And, you know, she could, but you just don't know. She could have any amount in hand. And what you must take on board is that she's got several entries over the next few days, which is always a telltale sign that they expect her to go very close.
Yes.
Because, you know, she could easily win this and then, you know, run another twice in the next week with the penalties. But she's going to be pretty short, I'd have thought. And she's also in, she's drawn 12 of 12, which I know it's over seven furlongs, but it's not ideal. So the one I was going to take her on with, purely from a value perspective, is the Keith Dalglish-trained Crazy Tornado, who was a six furlong winner when trained in Ireland. Only had the two runs for Dalglish. It was quite eye-catching over seven furlongs at Ayr, first time out for the trainer on good to soft ground. And then last time at this venue, conditions were much quicker, dropped to six furlongs, basically just found it all happening a bit too quickly and not surprisingly was strong in the finish. So returned to a longer trip. I think this horse is ready to win races for Keith Dalglish, and any rain will be welcomed. So Crazy Tornado is taken to beat Mockingbird.
Okay, Crazy Tornado, the choice then, one of the three-year-olds in the race for Ali to beat another three-year-old in the shape of Mockingbird. We go to Thirsk now for their 7:05, one of the evening meetings here. Another five furlong event for the three-year-olds this time. 11 runners are going down to post. An interesting mix of runners here, Ali.
Yeah, all three-year-olds, so a few of these could be open to a bit more improvement, though at first glance they all look relatively exposed. I think the handicapper's got most of them the way he wants them. The one exception could be Swivel Edge, number nine, who just hasn't had a lot of luck of late. Definitely better than the bare result would suggest when fifth in her two runs. Most recently met trouble in running on both occasions. I think this filly is mildly progressive and could well have scope to improve off a mark of 72. So in the hope that she gets a bit more luck on Monday, I'll take Swivel Edge to be the answer to that.
Swivel Edge, the one then in the 7:05 at Thirsk. The final race on today's podcast comes from Kempton Park. This is their 8:20 action on the poly track here. A mile and a half is the distance for the 12 runners that go down to contest this. So a slightly different trip to the one we've been dealing with so far. Ali, what did you make of it?
Yeah, this is a good race. A couple of standout performers, standout contenders, I believe, in Athlon, trained by David Lanigan, on a hat-trick, won back-to-back races at Windsor. He's actually 2 from 2 in handicaps. Has gone up £8 for the latest of those wins, but one with more than enough in hand to suggest he can cope with that. And these Lanigan horses, you know, they can get on a roll and you don't know for certain where their progress will stop. But the one I'm going to take it on with is the James Fanshawe-trained Pointel, who showed, you know, ran okay in maidens and then ran in a classified event at Nottingham last time. Significantly was very well back that day, and I thought it was a really taking performance because it was a slowly run tactical affair. The leader got first run, took a couple of lengths advantage, and yet Pointel really did stick to his guns and did well to reel him in. You know, for me, that one can be upgraded. His handicap mark has been raised £3, but as I said, that was a classified race. This horse is definitely going the right way, and the extra couple of furlongs on Monday will be up his street. Those two are standout contenders for me, and I take Pointel to beat Athlon.
Okay, Pointel the choice then for James Fanshaw and Freddie Tylicky in that 8:20 race at Kempton. Just give us a quick recap, please, Ali, if you would, of your four selections for the races we picked out on Monday.
Yeah, at Carlisle, we go for Mercer's Row in the 3:15, and then in the 4:45, it's Crazy Tornado. Then at Thirsk, Swivel Edge gets the nod in the 7:05, with Pointel taken to win the 8:20 at Kempton.
Excellent stuff. There we are, the thoughts of Alistair Whitehouse-Jones on Monday's racing. And do be sure to join us here on Racing Radio from 1:50pm on Monday afternoon with Ollie Pimnott, Rory Delaghi and Seb Sanders in the studio for Brighton, Carlisle, Kempton and Thirsk as well. Thank you very much for that, Ali. Enjoy the action on Monday.
Thank you, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.